Welcome to Caregiving Club On Air. This podcast is dedicated to the millions of family caregivers who want wellness tips and self-care solutions, who seek expert advice, and who want news about healthy aging and how to create well home design in our forever homes. I'm Sherry Snelling, a corporate gerontologist, author, and educator, a TV interviewer, host, and news commentator. I'm joining you from Southern California, where our interviews and news take us all across the country to explore the many ways to help you on your caregiving journey and to lift you up here at Caregiving Club On Air. Welcome to Caregiving Club On Air. I'm your host, Sherry Snelling. In this April episode, we are going to start with National Stress Awareness Month, but also April 26th, which is National Get Organized Day. We've got a great interview that touches on both of those topics with Heather Nickerson, who is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Artifacts. Heather's going to tell us not only how to get better organized, but how to tell the stories of some of the treasures that we might find as we go through that organizational process and how to store those memories forever. Really great information and resource. You're going to want to stay tuned for that great interview. And in caregiver wellness news, we're going to turn to April as National Humor Month, and I've got great information for you about a wonderful charity called Hilarity for Charity, and it was started by the comedic actor Seth Rogen and his wife, Lauren Miller Rogen, who is also an actress and writer and director. And they started Hilarity for Charity to really help support younger generations who are caring for, whether it's parents, in-laws, grandparents, or other loved ones who have Alzheimer's disease. So they have a great collaboration going on with Joe and Bella, which, as you know, is the adaptable clothing company. We interviewed Jimmy Zolo on this podcast a couple seasons ago, and also some other wonderful programs to support caregivers that I recently got involved with. So I want to tell you a little bit more about that because it's a really wonderful resource. Now, on April 22nd, we're also going to be celebrating Earth Day, and I'm going to do my own special twist on Earth Day from elements from my Me Time Monday book. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we can participate in things like green exercise and blue wellness. These are all big wellness trends that we see out there. So I'm going to tell you what those things are and how you can practice and celebrate Earth Day and also celebrate a little bit of self-care for yourself as well. Then as we turn to Well Home Design News, we're going to again look at decluttering. And what's really interesting is how decluttering not only helps us with our environmental wellness, but also our emotional wellness, which is our mental health, and maybe even our financial wellness. So stay tuned for all of those wonderful wellness insights and that I touch upon in my book. And then finally, as always, we're going to end our episode with our Me Time Monday wellness hack. This one is going to be on how stories and storytelling help to reduce your stress. So with that, let's go ahead and take a look at caregiver wellness news. So as I mentioned in my intro, April is National Stress Awareness Month. And for those of you who have heard me talk about my book almost in every episode recently called Me Time Monday, The Weekly Wellness Plan to Find Balance and Joy for a Busy Life, it's all about really stress management, how to really understand how our brains work in terms of our stress, how to bring that balance back into life, calm that stress response, and really how to find, again, balance, but also more joy in life. And I have just been having such a blast over the last few months since the book came out. I've been traveling around doing speaking groups. I just did a wonderful group, National League of Young Men, but I spoke to the mother's group, which was really great last week. A friend of mine, Merritt, is part of that group here in Southern California, and they had me come in and speak, and it was just really fun. And I'm also doing a lot of book signings, whether it's at Barnes & Noble stores or at these speaking events around the country, and I'm going to continue that. We've still got a full schedule through the rest of this year, which is pretty exciting. When it comes to stress, it's something that we all live with, and in many ways, stress is really part of our survival. Back 2 to 3 million years ago, when we were evolving as humans, stress was actually a good thing because it accelerated our heart rates. It put all of our energy and attention into our muscles so that we could react and run away from predators or be able to protect our tribes and our families and ourselves and all those things. The problem with modern stress is that we don't often see the stress that's happening within our bodies. And the stress response is not fairly quickly getting back to what we call homeostasis, which is that balance, that equilibrium that you need. And so we're staying in this heightened alert stress response, and it's hurting our immunity, hurting our cellular repair and our sleep, which does a lot of the cellular repair at night. We talked about that a couple of podcast episodes ago. The book is really about the seven elements of life and of wellness, and how can we find balance in those seven areas that also, again, address stress response. And you know, it's kind of fun for me because not only is this Stress Awareness Month, but April 23rd is World Book Day. So again, that's why I have to kind of promote my book out there. You can also find it at caregivingclub.com. There's a tab at the top called Me Time Monday Book. If you click on that, or even if you just go to metimemonday.com, you're going to find more information about my book, where you can buy it. You can buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can get it in certain Barnes & Noble stores that are carrying it, and also bookshop.org, which is the independent bookseller online, which I always like to support as well, particularly for World Day. So I just want to bring those things up because so much of what I talk about, and of course, the Me Time Monday wellness hacks that I do, all come from the research in my book. The one that we have for this episode, of course, is going to be about how stories and storytelling actually help us to reduce our stress. So stay tuned for that at the end of this episode. But the other thing that's happening in April, as I mentioned, is Earth Day, which is April 22nd. Now, Earth Day was really a movement that came about to protect our environment, to really understand the balance between people and planet, and to really focus more on what can we do to ensure that this beautiful Earth is going to stay here for generations and generations to come, which really means a lot to me because having done a lot of this research for my book, looking back 2 to 3 million years ago, you see how things that we can do today can really affect future generations. But I'm going to do a little spin on Earth Day, again, to spin it back towards some of the things in my book. And I'm going to talk about Earth Day as being part of what we need to practice in terms of, again, reducing our stress, but also self-care and really connecting ourselves more to nature. And so there are some wonderful movements that are going on in wellness. One is called green exercise. And what green exercise means is kind of exactly what it sounds like. You're going to get outside. You're going to listen to the leaves and the trees, the bird song. You're going to smell the fresh air and watch those wonderful white billowy clouds roll by in the blue sky. You're going to look upon greenery or maybe some wonderful flowers and florals and fauna and everything else. And hopefully, whether you live in a community where you can do this easily or you can get to a nearby park or place where you can really capture nature in its pure beauty, that is what really soothes our brain and our stress response. And in fact, I want to read to you, there's some really great studies that I came about or that I came across when I was doing my research. And so much of this is about multisensory immersion. Now, what does that mean? Multisensory means all five senses, right? So sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And what we want to do is we want to really exercise those activities as much as we can and be present for them because it's working out not only different parts of our brain, which is really good for brain health, but again, it's also bringing us back into that kind of balance and that harmony with nature, which is where we began. You know, we spend 95% of our time indoors and we don't recognize how much our brains crave getting outside. It's really, really important. It's important, again, for those of you who have young kids, brains are still developing all the way through our late 20s. So for that brain development, you want to make sure that your kids are getting as much immersion in nature as they can. You know, we live our lives based on technology. It's just part of our modern society and how we work and how we live. But we've got to bring the balance back and do the digital detox. Put the digital tools away for a little bit and just enjoy nature. So let me tell you about a couple of these really great studies. First of all, the one that everybody talks about who's in gerontology and in other areas of wellness is one that was done back in the 1980s by Robert Ehrlich. He actually conducted this study in a hospital. And what he did is he had two different cohorts, two different groups of patients. One group was put in a hospital room where they could see outside onto beautiful nature, trees and bushes, and they just had it really wonderful. There was sunlight coming in through the window, and they were able to see that every day. The other group did not have a view at all, kind of blank walls. And of course, then all the electronics and the noise, if you will, from the hospital and stuff, again, things that can really increase our stress. What he found after doing some exhaustive research is the people who had a view onto nature were discharged twice as fast and needed half the medication of the other group. Right there, I think that tells us what nature can do in terms of healing. But here's some other things. Forest bathing, which is a really big movement that didn't really start in Japan, but Japan became the big champion for it over the last few years. And it's now called forest medicine over in Tokyo and the Nippon Medical Center there, where Dr. Lee is one of the leading advocates and champions for forest bathing. But what he found is that if we can be outside for 120 minutes a week, that will boost your natural killer cells. They're called NK cells. And these are your white blood cells that attack the viruses and the tumors when you have cancer, also can help prevent cancer. The other study that was done that I really loved is one that showed that, again, just 10 minutes in nature can reduce our oxidative stress, which then reduces inflammation in the body, right? So we're keeping all of that tamped down. And that 10 minutes outside in nature walk is the equivalent of being inside for 30 minutes on a treadmill, whether you're in a gym or you're at home, but you don't have this nature immersion. So again, I think we're seeing the influence there of nature. By the way, going back to the 120 minutes, which that's for the whole week, sound like a whole lot to maybe some of you, but again, if you're a family caregiver, you don't have those 120 minutes to give up. But let me give you a little quick tip, because this is what Me Time Monday is all about. So what you want to do is you want to take the 120 minutes, you divide it by 7 days, right? That means 17 minutes a day. Okay, we're getting closer to reality now, but let's say that's even too tough. So then you say, okay, could I do 8 minutes twice a day? Can I do 8 minutes in the morning and maybe 8 minutes in the afternoon? Or maybe it's 6 minutes in the morning and 6 minutes at lunch and 6 minutes in the afternoon. So break things down into tiny segments. And let's face it, even if you only get 6 minutes in during the day, you wanted to do 17, but you got six. That's better than nothing, right? So this is the principle of Me Time Monday, is breaking things down into these small, tiny, achievable steps that we can all take to practice better self-care, bring that balance back. I also mentioned Blue Wellness, which is another part of this whole wellness trend that we see going on. Blue Wellness really relates to anything that has to do with water. We're seeing so much of an increase right now. I talked last episode on this podcast about the cold plunge movement. That's part of Blue Wellness. But also people who live along a sea line, a coastline, or even near a lake, have better sleep. Now, the sea air is actually a little bit better than lake air, but it's because the negative ions in sea air accelerate your ability to absorb oxygen, and this is going to give you better sleep. There was a study that was done that showed people who actually live near coastal areas get about 47 minutes more per night sleep than other people who live in other parts of the country. Amazing, right? Because we're always talking about sleep science, how important it is for us to get enough sleep. Well, somehow the people near the coast, and thankfully and gratefully, I'm one of them, it seems to be that we have a little advantage there maybe in getting a little bit better sleep. So it's something to really think about. But even if you don't live near the coast, I think that there are things that, again, that you can do to bring water more into your environment. Some people have aquariums, some people have fountains, whatever it is. Maybe you have an advantage, you've got a pool in your backyard, whatever it is that connects you to water, because again, that goes back to the ancient brain and helps us to really relieve our stress. Now, I also mentioned, I want to quickly reference a great charity called Hilarity for Charity, because it's National Humor Month in April. And as I mentioned, Seth Rogen, who is the wonderful actor, and his wife, Lauren Miller Rogen, also an actress and a writer and a director, started this charity several years ago called Hilarity for Charity. Lauren's family is very affected by Alzheimer's disease. And she found as a very young woman that she got immersed in this world and felt that her peers And colleagues and other people of her generation just really didn't know enough about brain health and didn't know enough about Alzheimer's disease. And that became part of the mission of Hilarity for Charity. So to bring some levity to it, right? I mean, that's what Seth is all about, is kind of the comedic factor, the cool factor, if you will. And they've just done some fantastic, tremendous programs. But I want to mention two quick things to you. First of all, they recently announced a collaboration with an adaptable clothing company, award-winning, by the way, called Joe and Bella. I'm very grateful and honored because I've been an advisor to Joe and Bella, but they do some wonderful designs for adaptable clothing. So what that means is people who struggle with certain physical limitations, so whether you're in a wheelchair, maybe you have a colostomy bag, maybe have other issues with arthritis. It makes it really tough to do things like zippers or buttons or putting on pants over certain equipment or whatever it happens to be. That is what adaptable clothing is all about. It's looking at some of those limitations and helping to overcome it. Now, what really sets Joe and Bella apart is they're so fashionable. Their lead designer we interviewed on this podcast, Kara Sumpton, she's designed for Lululemon and others. I mean, their clothes are just really fantastic. So here's what they did with Hilarity for Charity. Seth designed a really cool shirt called the Seth, and Lauren designed this wonderful nightgown called the Lauren, and they are now collaborating. And for all the sales of those two particular items, there's a certain percentage that goes to Hilarity for Charity. So check it out. You can check it out on either Hilarity for Charity's website or Joe and Bella. We're going to have those on our episode guide page. But really big shout out to Jimmy Zello, at co-founder of Joe and Bella, who, by the way, if you want to check out the interview we did with him on this podcast, that was season 2, episode 9. And we've done a request of Lauren to come on the podcast. Her schedule is crazy busy, as you can only imagine. But I swear we'll get her. I guess we'll get her on this podcast one way or another. She and Seth are doing wonderful things with their charity. Now, they recently invited me through Jasmine, who coordinates a lot of their community activities. They invited me to be part of their community lounge for caregivers, which is a virtual online, like a support group. But what we do is we pick a different topic every month, or they do several of them actually during the month, but they pick a different topic. And then they have somebody like me who comes in and kind of I share chapters from my book. I share some of the insights from my book. And then we have a group discussion on it. And I did my first one just a couple of weeks ago. We did it on how to go from FOMO to JOMO, which is fear of missing out, to joy of missing out. And it was fantastic. It was so fun. We had a lively discussion with lots of people online joining us. I think it was really well received. So I'm going to do another one next month, and we're going to talk about the happiness hormones and how to harness those. These are some of the wonderful things. Beyond, they also do grants for caregivers who need respite care and respite help and lots of really good information. Then they also do a lot of education in high schools and colleges with those younger generations. So check out Hilarity for Charity. Wonderful, wonderful group. If you're looking for someone to support, I would do a big shout out. They're definitely one. Their website will have a link on the episode guide page, but it is wearehfc.org. That is their website. And then you can check out these caregiver lounges and you can register for free. They're all free, but you can join us for those conversations. And then also just a quick shout out, because it's National Humor Month, a great person, colleague of mine that I run into very frequently, and we're even looking to collaborate with each other on some speaking gigs and educational models and stuff, is Dani Klein-Modisette. And she is the founder of Laughter on Call. We interviewed Dani on season 3, episode 30. So check it out, because humor is so important to our social health, as well as our physical and emotional health. And that conversation with Dani was really insightful. And I think it's just something worth taking a look at. Whether it's humor-filled memories and stories, or just getting organized and being able to look through your treasures and capture the stories that are behind some of those wonderful treasures that probably many of us have put in a box in the attic and don't think about very much. Now we have our next guest, who is going to tell us on this episode how we can actually bring those stories to life. And not only that, how it can have some other benefits to archive some of the stories of our wonderful stuff, right? We're always talking about getting rid of stuff, but there's a psychological disconnect between things we just can't get rid of. How do we keep the memories and still be able to declutter and all those kind of things? That is what Heather Nickerson, who is the CEO and co-founder of Artifacts, along with her co-founder, Ellen Goodwin, who couldn't join us, but Heather's going to tell us all about what Artifacts does And how it really helps you in a lot of different, not just getting organized, but in a lot of different aspects of life. So here is my interview with Heather Nickerson of Artifacts. I'm really thrilled to have our guest on our episode today, who is Heather Nickerson of Artifacts. And we're going to tell you all about what that means. But we know that coming up later this month, I think it's, let's see, April 26th is National Get Organized Day. And I really thought it would be great to talk to Heather because organization is just one of the things that she's going to help us with today. But Heather, welcome to Caregiving Club on Air.
Thank you so much, Sherry. We're thrilled to be here with you today.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, Heather is one of the co-founders of Artifacts. And Heather, where are we talking to you from today?
Coming live from Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., the capital where it's all happening. Well, it's great to have you on. I want to give you the microphone to tell us all about what Artifacts is.
So Artifacts is an app and web-based patented technology platform. We help you capture, preserve, and share the histories, the stories, the value, and the meaning behind all your stuff. A really easy way to think about it is that we let you build and preserve your legacy object by object.
Which I really love. So many of us feel like we have too much stuff these days. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about that decluttering, downsizing, but there are some things that are so precious to us, whether they're out on a shelf or whether maybe they're packed away in a box. This kind of gives you the opportunity to bring that item forward and tell the story. And you know, what I love is it really is about storytelling, right?
That's the essence of it. We've tried to figure out a way to make it really fun, but also very functional, to ensure that you pass down your stories, your history, your memories to your family. And while you're at it, do something with those tangible assets. Do something with all that stuff. We know for a fact that as boomers age in the next 3 to 5 years, they're going to be passing down $3 trillion worth of stuff to Gen X. And unless or until boomers tell Gen X, hey, this is what it is. This is why it matters. This is the value. And by the way, this is what I want you to do with it. It's going to be a lot of stuff. Frankly, we think it's a stuff tsunami. So we're trying to get out in front of it and to help families ensure that they don't lose the history, you don't lose the stories that you are able to have with photos, video, and audio, that recorded family history right at your fingertips.
You know, it's interesting for the people in our audience who are maybe watching us on YouTube. I know a lot of people just listen to us on the podcast channels, but if you happen to catch us on our YouTube with our video, I actually took some time, I told Heather this morning, to go through some of my grandmother's old jewelry that she had left me. It's mostly costume jewelry, I have to say, but it's beautiful. I pulled out one of her favorite brooches and a necklace. And it's funny because all of a sudden the memories did come back to me. And I remember the stories that she told me about maybe where she wore this or whatever. And I think that's something that's really important for families. You know, very often we're looking for ways to bring the younger generations, the grandkids together with the grandparents. Tell us a little bit of what you've seen in terms of Artifacts, how that dynamic works.
Sure. Thanks, Sherry. That's a great question. So from very early on, from day one of launching Artifacts, we've had grandparent and grandchild and children pairs work together. And we think it's beautiful because maybe the grandparent's a little tech phobic, but the grandchild is, of course, super tech savvy and say, hey, grandma, let's do this. Let's, you know, work together. And it's been amazing. We've had both the grandparent and grandchild contact us in tears or with a flutter of emojis because they've learned things about each other they never knew. We had a grandmother and a granddaughter pair Artifact as grandma was downsizing to go into assisted living. And the granddaughter uncovered amazing stories about her grandmother, everything from having lived overseas for decades and the places she went, the adventures she had, to even some of her own family history, like what it was like growing up in the rural South in the turn of the century, what it was like for her, it would have been her great grandmother. But those family, I mean, pieces of family histories and stories that otherwise would have been completely lost if they hadn't stopped and said, hey, grandma, tell me about this photo, or hey, grandma, tell me about this 1914 Sears catalog that you've saved. Like, why'd you save that? So it's really, it's amazing when you stop and take a moment and ask someone about something, like pick an object, any object, it's amazing what stories come out. And again, how that is, it's all a part of who we are and where we've been and what's happened in our families over the years.
Yeah, it's really funny. I had my two nephews over the other day to help me with some garage cleaning, do a little garage cleaning. And I had an old rotary phone. It's from the 1930s. I have to say, it's even before my time. But I've held on to it thinking, okay, I'll set it out somewhere. I'll use it for that. And my nephews were just, they knew what it was, but it was a little bit like, wow, this is from ancient history. You know? Because it's like that just, they didn't grow up with that, which is really funny. Speaking of my nephews, I have to do a little shout out because Finn and Morgan are my nephews who are really fantastic and help their auntie out all the time. And Morgan gave me a book for Christmas called Swedish Death Cleaning. And we had talked about it beforehand, so it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't startled. But tell us a little bit now about, in addition to the storytelling, which is wonderful and really gives us a sense of that history behind that item or whatever it is. There's also the need sometimes as we get older, we do want to downsize. Maybe we are moving into senior living or active living or assisted living. And so both decluttering our own homes just to make it safer for us to not have as much stuff around, but also maybe if we're downsizing, and this whole concept of Swedish death cleaning, I want you to touch upon, but tell us how Artifacts works with that.
So we have some very exciting news to share. Time magazine just named Artifacts one of 7 low-stress solutions for decluttering. So it's not just us who think Artifacts.
Congratulations!
Thank you so much. It's a great way to be able to keep the memories and maybe not all the stuff. But now on a nationwide level, we're getting recognition that we do just that. And that's one of the, I think, the hardest things when you're downsizing or when you're decluttering is you want to hold on to things because of the emotional value tied to it, or because of the memories associated with it. And I think a lot of us fear, and myself included, when going through my mother's stuff, we're afraid to let go of items for fear of losing the memory or for fear of somehow forgetting about what matters or why it mattered, or even sometimes why we have it or about the person who gave it to us. There's so much, I think, emotion tied with stuff. So with Artifacts, you're able to build your own private collection of all your individual artifacts, those stories and those objects paired together. But the beautiful thing is, once you've done that, and once you've told the story to someone, or you've shared it, or even just documented it for yourself, you know you have it safe and secure, either in our app or on our platform. So you're much more inclined to be able to let go of the actual item. And I do this with my old greeting cards. I used to have boxes and boxes of old cards under my bed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're in the same club, Sherry.
Right.
And I didn't want to let go because the handwriting and the sentiment, it's those physical, tangible pieces or reminders of the ones we love, right? So once we made Artifacts, that was one of my first targets, was essentially decluttering all of those old greeting cards. And sure, I've saved some really monumental ones. You know, the card my husband gave me on our wedding day, or the last card I ever received from my mother. But the other 99.9% of the cards, I artifacted them, kept the memory, and then was able to recycle the cards and regain some very precious space, especially since living in DC and space is at a premium. On the Swedish death cleaning side, the beauty of Artifacts that you are able to pass down the items, the whole concept of Swedish death cleaning is that as you are aging throughout life, you don't have to be on death's doorstep to do it. That's a big misconception. But we have people who Swedish death clean in their 40s and their 50s. But as you're going through your life and you discover objects or items you no longer have a need for, it doesn't have to be yours, it could be someone else's, you're able to pass that item down to a friend, to a family member, really to anyone that could use it. And with it, pass your memories of it, your stories behind it, why it matters to you. And it's a really great way to declutter, because not only are you able to free up space, you're passing down objects, or as we like to say, you're rehoming objects, but with it goes the story and you're sharing your story. And it's a very kind of happy, feel good way to ensure that you're going to give a new life to an object maybe you've had for decades, or maybe you've had for a year or two, but someone else is going to love it just as much as you. It's going to be useful, and it's no longer sitting in your bookshelf or in your attic or in your basement. But really, you know, Margaret Magnuson's, her whole premise behind Swedish death cleaning was to give yourself a more organized space and to create less stress as you aged. So that way, at end of life, your family is not trying to sift through boxes and boxes or bins and bins of stuff, wondering, what on earth is this? Why did mom have it? And what are we supposed to do with it? So that's how Artifacts pairs wonderfully with Swedish death cleaning.
Well, and I love that. You know, I'm grappling with that right now, is just trying to down some stuff and get rid of some stuff. And I think one of the reasons why my nephew got the book, we had been talking about, I came across it, but both my nephews have gotten really into our Scottish ancestry, which is something I did a lot of genealogy around, right? And I think they were both really interested in the fact that it started with the Vikings, you know, that the Vikings really did this centuries ago when they were start getting rid of things later in life. They like that kind of concept. So
I lived in Denmark for a year, and it's amazing what happens when it's done well and done consistently throughout life, because you do, like, as you get older, maybe it's your children or maybe it's nieces or nephews, but people who are starting out and they need stuff for their first place or they need stuff for their college dorm. And you're able, again, not just to say, hey, take this extra drawer of silverware, but take the silverware. Part of it was, you know, great Aunt Mabel's, and part of it was you tell the family history and story. And then what's amazing is that we always, I think, hear a lot in media that no one wants my stuff, right? That's just simply not true. And we see that with Swedish death cleaning. You take the time to tell the story, it's amazing how often that item ends up staying in the family or staying within your circle of friends, because they now know the meaning behind it and your attachment to it. It's just this really great way to, I think, keep things out of landfills, out of storage units, and being passed down to who's going to use them and love them next.
You know, I'm a huge fan of HGDV. Erin Napier, who's on Hometown, she's a big one on, what do you call that? It's like grand millennial style. You take something that was grandma in your grandparents' attic. Yeah, grandma chic. And you take something that was in the attic or something that somebody's basically going to throw away, and it becomes this beautiful, you know, you repaint it or reupholster it or whatever it happens to be. So yeah, I think that sometimes the things we don't think about are treasures for friends and family.
We often joke that the best vintage shop in the world is grandma's attic. Tour through the attic and ask, like, hey, grandma, what is this? It's amazing what you'll discover, not just on the physical object side, but also grandma had a pretty interesting life. And she may not remember bits to tell you just in everyday conversation, but hold up that old mink stole or hold up a pair of heels from the 1940s. And wow, did the story start coming out?
Yes. Well, and I've got some pieces of furniture, my grandmother's old steamer trunk, and I know some of the stories, but I haven't written them down. I'm a huge fan. I'm getting onto artifacts so I can put, you know, take pictures of all these things and tell these stories so they'll be kept for generations to come. Now, you know, in addition to all the declutter, downsizing, Swedish death cleaning that we're looking into, there's also really some other interesting things that you told me about. And one of them was that you can actually be helpful for insurance. And there was a really great story you told me about our mutual friend, Matt Paxton, who does the legacy list. So he's a declutter king, but he had a really great story, and he's an artifactor. Tell us a little bit about that story, because I really thought, oh, I had never thought about that being another benefit of this.
Yes. So that's where we go for the fun is the storytelling, right? And passing down the memories and history. The very practical is insurance and estate planning, because at the end of the day, our stuff matters and there is financial value and something has to happen to it next. So with Matt Paxton, who is one of our advisory board members and a phenomenal fan of artifacts, he always wears this ring that his father gave him on his deathbed. It's a Tiffany's gold ring with a black onyx stone. And Matt had, it's one of his first artifacts he made. So he'd artifacted it. He had video, he had audio, he had all the details, dimensions, you name it. And it's actually a public artifact. You can go and view the artifact today. Matt was out to dinner. And as he tells it, he was eating a really juicy hamburger and took the ring off and like everything else, he was making a mess. And when he left the restaurant, he forgot to get the ring. And he realized it a couple hours later, he didn't have the ring and he was panic-stricken. He called the restaurant and explained what happened and sent them the artifact. Said, hey, this is exactly what we're looking for. Here are all the details. And it was a click of a button. The artifact was over with the restaurant manager. Right. So they're now on the hunt for the ring. Matt also realized, because there is financial value to this, this is an antique Tiffany's gold ring. He sent it to his insurance agent as well, saying, we might have a problem. Still looking for it, but FYI, in case it doesn't turn up, here's the artifact and we'll have to go through the claims process. This story ended better than I ever could have expected. A couple days later, the restaurant called Matt back and said, actually, we found it. It was out, I think, by the dumpster. It had been run over. So I think probably when they were clearing the table, someone scooped it up, ended up somehow in a trash bag by the dumpster. Someone had run over it, but the ring was salvageable. So Matt then says, all right, great. Went and got the ring. And then he took it to a jeweler. and asked the jeweler to repair it. And once again, he sent the jeweler the artifact because it had all the photos and all the details. This is what the ring looked like. Could you please restore the ring back to its original, you know, as best as you can? So that's where, again, the functionality of being able to export with a click of a button an artifact or your entire collection to your insurance agent. We never like to think about worst case scenarios. And it's all too often and all too sad that we hear about hurricanes or fires or floods. And some of that stuff is completely irreplaceable. We get that. Other things are replaceable. However, you have to work through insurance. And that process can take months if you don't have it documented. And that's where the functional part of artifacts comes in. If you've taken the time to, you know, document some of those family heirlooms or some of the items you have, from jewelry to, you know, you name it. If you do have an instance where you've lost the item, again, click a button, export to your insurance. It's really easy to then kickstart the claims process, and it saves you from dig through boxes and boxes of, do I have a photo of it? Do I even know the description? What about the dimensions? And then because you can attach documents and artifacts as well, sometimes our members attach receipts or they attach certificates of authenticity, which is great. Again, when you're dealing with insurance, you're going to have tons of questions for you. Like, well, how do we know you had it? Like, how do you prove this? How do we know it was authentic? It's all of those things, again, are easily solvable with artifacts, which is why we like to say, you know, you make one artifact and there's many possibilities with that.
Absolutely. And again, something I had not thought about, but which is so beneficial. And you touched upon natural disasters, so floods and fires and things that we unfortunately have in our lives. It's wonderful to have this archive. I think so often, you know, we tell people, particularly with family photos, now most things are digital. Hopefully most people have storage in the cloud, because even if it's on your computer hard drive and you have a fire or flood, that may not have saved the digital photos. So you can also do it with, again, items that you don't think about that were destroyed that can't be brought back, but at least you've got this beautiful photo, you know, that kind of brings back that memory and makes it all really nice. One question I hadn't thought about that I'd like to ask you is, do you feel like there's any hesitancy? I know particularly for older people, there's always a privacy concern when we're doing anything online, when we're uploading any kind of information about ourselves. What are some of the securities or some of the, can we give a sense of trust to the listeners out there whose older parents may be a little hesitant to want to do this because they just don't want their stuff being seen by everybody?
I'm so glad you asked that, Sherry. So I want to say right at the bat, we have built artifacts from day one to be private and secure. Our backgrounds, myself and my co-founder, are both former Central Intelligence Agency analysts. So we understand the value of privacy, and we go to lengths to protect security. We both then had decades-long careers in the private sector. Myself, I ran and grew a private security firm, and I also authored a book on how to protect your privacy. So when we say we take privacy and security seriously, it's just not us saying so because it sounds good. It's because we
You live it and breathe it.
We live it and breathe it all the time. I even today teach a privacy course for the photo managers because I believe so strongly in that everyone should have the basic right to human privacy. Our data should not be for sale. And in fact, at Artifacts, we make that very clear. When you sign up for any of our accounts, we clearly state it is your information. We do not sell it. We do not transact it. We even make clear that anything you write on Artifacts, it's yours. You retain the copyright. Very few online platforms go that far to ensure that, again, your information is your information. The other big thing that we do is that we don't compress our files. So when you upload a photo, be it high res or regular or audio or video, if you decide to download that 5 years from now, you're not going to get an itty bitty teeny tiny thumbnail and be wondering what on earth is grandma talking about. Nope. You're going to get the original file. Again, it goes back to our belief that it's your information. It's your data. It's your stuff. It's not ours. We're simply there providing you the forum and the platform to safely and securely document it and share it with the next generation. But it's not, we do not own it. It is yours. We also, within our platform, a lot of things come up along with privacy security is legacy. So we have legacy contacts built into Artifacts, primary and secondary. The same way that someone someday is going to inherit your physical stuff, we want to make sure that your artifacts are never lost in cyberspace. So please pick a primary and a secondary legacy contact. We do not and will never hold your information hostage. We want to ensure that what you do does make it onto the next generation. So again, we do take privacy and security to heart, and it really is foundational to all that we built here at Artifacts.
Wow. I did not know that both you and Ellen had security backgrounds. So yes, now that makes me feel even more trustworthy of the whole situation. You know what you're doing. You know, one thing that I know that a lot of families struggle with, and particularly older adults as they're getting later in life, is they do want to maybe give things away, but they're a little hesitant. They don't want to create any family controversy. We are always saying to older people, you know, at least tell the person or tell everybody, yes, so-and-so gets the ring, so-and-so gets, you know, the fur coat. I mean, being in caregiving as long as I have, one of the things that's always amazed me is very often when an older loved one passes, it isn't really about the money and the estate. It's about the things, right? It's about that grandma's silver. Yeah, grandma's silver set or whatever it is. And, you know, you see the Hatfields and McCoys potential family conflict. Do you have any stories or are there any things like that that Artifacts can help an older adult kind of feel like, okay, I can say this and send it to someone and it's archived and no one can say, well, that's not true. Mom didn't want that.
Yes. So that's one of the, again, very core features of Artifacts. There's the fun part, the stories, the memories, family history, but then there's the functional estate planning, insurance, and then what we call is the in the future field. It's so important. We even have it on the quick form. It's not required, but we're always putting it front and center for you to think about what happens next with this item. And we do that because in my case, what happened to my mother and her passing and me having to figure out what happens to 6,000 square feet of stuff, I did not know. My mother had an estate plan, beautiful estate plan. However, it did not deal with dividing up 6,000 square feet of, in legal speak, tangible assets. So at Artifacts, we make it really simple. The in the future field, you can pick, do you want to sell? Do you want to donate? Do you want to keep in the family? Do you want to bequeath? We say, choice is yours. There's also a fun category for too late, enjoy the memory, which is great. When you're downsizing, decluttering, family can still see the family pieces, but no, they're no longer there. But when you choose an Artifacts, when you choose the in the future, you choose to say donate, there'll be another dropdown. They'll ask you, like, which charity do you want it to be donated to? And then the contact information. So you're building a roadmap for your family of what happens next. The same thing if you choose to bequeath an item. There'll be another dropdown that states, great, you know, first name, last name, relationship, and contact information. So I want to stress, we at Artifacts, we're not a legal trust and will platform. However, with a click of a button, you can export your Artifacts into your estate plan or into your will and make it legally binding. But at the very least, by doing the in the future field, you've given your family a roadmap. And that's really critical when we think about just how many things we amass and collect either intentionally or accidentally over the course of our lives. The other thing we built in to address the privacy piece is we know that sometimes when you're going through it, you may not want to or may not be ready to have that conversation right away, but while it's top of mind, you're making those decisions. We have kept that field private and viewable only to you unless or until you're ready to share with a specific family member. So you're able to make the decision, think about it a bit, and then when you're ready, share on your terms. If you want to have a family gathering and then kind of do that, the sharing and kind of the Swedish death cleaning at that point, fabulous. If you want to do it on the spot as you go, we have members who do that too. But we really have, again, part of going back to the privacy and security, we respect your timeline and your decisions. So we give you the options to make those decisions, but then share only when you're ready to share.
I love that. That's so wonderful. So we've learned so much, Heather. Again, I think this is just such a great service, something we don't think about, but it becomes so helpful, you know, as we're navigating all of this, both for ourselves and our loved ones. Are there any stories or something inspiring that you've seen, something unusual that you want to share?
One of the, I think, most humbling things about having started Artifacts is the stories that our members write into us almost on a daily basis. And it's complete strangers ready to tell us how Artifacts has changed their lives for the better. One of my favorite ones, and this is a silly story, but we had a grandparent pair. I want to say it was, I think it's two Christmases ago now, right after we shortly launched. They wrote in to tell us how usually at family gatherings, they cannot get their teen and tween grandchildren off their devices. So they decided that this year at Christmas time, they weren't going to fight it. They were going to go with it. And one of our features are Artifacts we haven't talked about, but we do have QR codes and QR code stickers. So you can, for each Artifact you make, you can get a unique QR code. So this grandparent pair got really creative. They artifacted their family living room, some of the dining room items, a bunch of the holiday decorations. And because each artifact has a unique QR code, they printed off the QR codes and then put them on the bottoms underneath the painting or underneath the ceramic bowl or whatever it happened to be. And then when the grandkids came over, they armed the grandkids like, all right, you got your iPads, go hunt. And they had made a scavenger hunt of essentially family artifacts, like to the true extent of the word, family artifacts. And they said it was the funniest thing they've ever seen. And the grandkids loved it. And they were like, at the end of the scavenger hunt, they knew more about us and our family history than us talking for decades and decades. It was one of those things where, again, as a founder, it was
brilliant.
But also, it was one of those things like we never thought of ourselves. We're like, wow, that's a great idea.
I love that. I think you ought to encourage the family scavenger hunt. We always love scavenger hunts as kids. So that is really brilliant, I have to say. It's a great, again, it's a great way for grandparents and grandkids. You know, it's not just grandpa telling the story. It's like, wow, you get to kind of go search for it on your own. I love that. Well, Heather, it's just been fantastic learning more about artifacts. So tell us again, how much does it cost? So if I wanted to engage with you, what am I looking at when I sign up?
So your first 5 artifacts are always free. So working with Matt Paxton and working with AARP, we want to make sure that anyone, anywhere can artifact their legacy list. Pick your 5 items that tell your story. It's free on artifacts. If you love us, and if you want to artifact more, we have 2 options. The first is our Artifacts Unlimited plan, and that's $119 a year, and it gives you unlimited artifacts, but also 4 accounts. So you get to keep 1 for yourself and then give 3 to other family or friends you want to artifact with. So we have a lot of folks, maybe parents who buy it, who buy the initial package, and then they give 1 account to their parents, accounts to siblings or to children, and you get the whole family involved. The other paid option is what we call Arty Light. And that's a single account limited to 30 artifacts, and it's $45. I will say that over 95% of our paid members go with Artifacts Unlimited just because they get into it and they love it. And you realize quickly how much stuff we have, especially when you get your family going.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's not really that much for what you get out of it, right? You know, it's so funny because I got into genealogy after my grandma passed away many years ago. And loved all the family history, but mostly it was family stories. I mean, I have an Ancestry.com membership. I'll just cop to that. But it's great because I can find the certificates, the data, the birth and death records and all that. But the stories aren't there. So this becomes, Ancestry, if you're listening, this becomes something you should have because really it is about the stories, right? That's what we really cherish and love.
And what's been fascinating, we've learned from genealogists, again, another group who is using artifacts and we're learning from them. They actually take their ancestry family, like the family tree link, and they do an artifact, say, Great Grandma Anderson's rocking chair. And they have a photo of the rocking chair. They've got old photos of Great Grandma Anderson and like the next of kin in the rocking chair. They then, as part of their artifact story, they link the family tree to it. And because artifacts were custom built from the ground up, we can include, when you make your story, you could include links to other sites. We don't, you know, again, it's your information. It's your story. So when they share that artifact about, say, the rocking chair, they're also then sharing out that link to the family tree. So whoever's reading the artifact can then click the link and be like, oh, that's how I'm related to Great Grandma Anderson. Fabulous. I never knew. So it is really interesting how, again, stuff really plays into that family history and the stories themselves are really memorable. Sometimes a little more memorable than a bunch of dates and names on a family tree. I know I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, it's interesting to find all the different connections, but there are certain stories that I wish I had. And we do have some of them. So I'm really grateful that we've got some of those to pass down to future generations. But Heather, thank you so much for sharing what Artifacts is all about. And I think our listeners are going to be fascinated by this. Where can they find you?
So you can find us on our website. That's artifcts.com. We omit the second A on purpose because we say we're redefining artifacts. They don't have to be museum grade quality or historically relevant or super valuable to have meaning to you. So an artifact is anything that has meaning to you. So again, it's artifcts.com. Or you can download our mobile app. We have a mobile app both on Android and iOS. So easy to reach. If you can email, you can artifact.
Awesome. Well, it's just been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing what Artifacts is about.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sherry. It's been a pleasure.
So wasn't that a really insightful interview with Heather? I mean, so many things that you could do with artifacts in terms of getting organized, telling your stories, keeping your memories alive for others, for kind of a legacy gift, but also helping with insurance claims and other things. And by the way, we talked about Matt Paxton, and Matt is an advisor to artifacts. He also is somebody that we've interviewed on this podcast. He had a wonderful new book out about decluttering, and he is the host of Legacy List on PBS TV. So you can look for Matt's interview on season 2, episode 2. We'll have that link on our episode guide page. It's really about, again, our environmental wellness, how much our environments are being decluttered, or we put comfort sources in our view so that we get that sense of comfort and, you know, that kind of boost of serotonin or even maybe dopamine when we look upon something, you know, that means something to us that was special, whether we look at that, whether it's online or whether we're looking at the actual object in our home is really important to our emotional health and also our financial wellness. So I mentioned that April 26th is National Getting Organized Day. And last Christmas, my nephew, Morgan, we do a book gift exchange as our family gift exchange. And so Morgan bought me a book called Swedish Death Cleaning. Now, he had heard me talking about this, and I did not know about it when I was writing my book. It was actually something that it kind of came out a little bit later, even though it's been around, obviously, for a long time. And so he gave me the book as a follow-up, and I thought that was so sweet. And I just wanted to do a shout out to him. He's a wonderful nephew, as is my other nephew, Finn. They helped me declutter as much as possible when I could get him over here to help me clear some stuff out of the garage and the attic and everywhere else. What's really interesting about this Swedish death cleaning is it goes back to kind of the ancient Vikings, if you will. And part of their culture was to get rid of things before they died. So they would transfer them to a trusted friend, a family member. They would give it to honor somebody who came to maybe visit or whatever was happening. And it's kind of a nice thought because very often we hang on to our stuff. And once we're gone, I mean, you either have to make a list of who you would want to have things. I've seen so often, it's not about the money. When the parents are gone, often the siblings fight over things. It's the silver tea set from grandma. You know, it's the watch. It's the this or whatever. And so it does really help a bit for families overall to know not only what the wishes were of their loved one, but it's very clear. There's no fighting. You know, it's kind of like, okay, let's make peace with it now. So it's kind of a nice concept. I think it's actually probably good. I think it helps bring the temperature down for families who are emotionally fraught when they've lost a loved one. So really kind of giving your stuff away before you die. I have some friends that are definitely doing this, whether they knew that they were doing Swedish death cleaning or not. And I'm starting to think about it, you know, putting some things like, I mean, gosh, I've got so much that I don't use. It's like, why am I hanging on to this? I want to gift it to somebody who will get something else out of it. So whether that's a donation that I'm making to like Goodwill or some of the other thrift shops in the area that do this, or whether it's I'm giving it to maybe one of my friend's daughters or sons or whatever it is, it's kind of similar to what Matt Paxton talks about, which is get rid of the things, but keep the memories. And the keep the memories part is through artifacts, right? Being able to archive that story, tell that story, really reflect upon it. See, look at a picture of it. You know, you can still look at a picture. It's kind of silly to have things in a box in the attic you never see. At least if it's online or in a digital file, you can bring it up, go back through the memories and stuff. Then Marie Kondo, who's also, you know, the declutter queen, she talks about sparking joy. And I think that's about only keeping things in our environment that spark joy. Well, let's face it, we all have too much stuff, right? I mean, I've really been feeling that lately. Just have too much stuff. And I'm going to probably continue to keep buying, not certainly at the rate that I have been the last couple decades, because I've definitely slowed it down. But, you know, you're just going to want to maybe get a new this or a new that. So you need to make room for it. You can't just keep piling it on. The other thing is there's been some really great studies, and I included a lot of this research in my book on environmental wellness and some of the things that we can do in terms of this decluttering. But, you know, it goes back again to what I've always talked about, which is the ancient brain that we still operate with. So 2 to 3 billion years ago, when we were out on the African savannah, And we were seeing wide open spaces. We weren't seeing all kinds of stacks of magazines and stuff everywhere. And this is why in interior design for homes, the open home design is still, I think, very much something that people want. You know, I'm seeing some things on HGTV where maybe some designers want to compartmentalize like a formal dining room. But for the most part, we're keeping that more open floor space because it does go back to the brain of when we can see things and paths clearly, our brain is soothed. We know that we can be prepared for predators or for other issues that may impact us. So it really becomes important to declutter. And it also, talked about this before, you know, as we get older, you don't want trip hazards, okay? So if you've got piles of things on the floor or things you're not picking up or whatever, it really starts to become now a hazard to your health, not just your emotional health, but also your physical health. So it really is important to kind of embrace some of these things. And we know, obviously, it reduces stress. It improves your sleep because you can sleep better. You restore your relationships, not only with your home, how you feel about your home, how you want to maybe have people in, which improves your social health, but it also can improve relationships, right? There's a lot of fighting that goes on about stacks of this or stacks of that, or the garage that just has, you know, become a disaster area or whatever. Those things have become really important. So when I talk about my Me Time Monday program and in my book, it's environmental wellness. That's just the environments, how well they're helping us stay calm, decrease stress, feel safe, feel secure, feel comforted. It's emotional wellness, which again is part of that. Okay, we're only keeping the things we really, really cherish. And it feels so good to be able to kind of clear out the clutter. It's amazing how you just lift this weight off your shoulders when you clean things out, right? I mean, I don't know anybody who has said to me, I felt worse after I cleaned up X. Everybody feels better after they clean things out. And then as we mentioned, financial wellness. So for instance, financial, you can make some extra money. You can go on to some of these sites and sell some of those clothes you're not wearing anymore, or sell some furniture, or Facebook Marketplace. There's so much now that you can do to really make a few extra bucks. And let's face it, the economy is still not great. Inflation rates, I saw, just went up again. How is that even possible? Being able to have a few extra bucks in your pocket so you can still afford eggs and other things at the grocery store becomes really important, particularly at this point in time. Some other just really quick get organized tips, because it is, again, April 26th is National Get Organized Day. Here are a couple more resources for you. So there's something called Lifequakes. I didn't write about this in my book. I'm come across some of this information lately. And Lifequakes are basically major life events, whether we plan them or not. The planned ones are things like getting married, having kids, moving, buying a home, right? Those are all much joyful and things we have chosen to do. The other Lifequakes that happen to us are truly like natural disasters, things like the pandemic, things we don't really have control over that still happen in our life that create us to have to make a major pivot or a major change, okay? So Lifequakes happen. Caregiving is another Lifequake. And again, it's got a lot of silver linings, but it may not have been something that you or your family has planned for. And so you want to try to keep all the important paperwork in one place. Now, whether that's just your core family or whether, again, you're caregiving and you want to make sure that you do know what mom and dad have planned, what's their power of attorney for medical or financial decisions, what's their living will, which is outside of their estate plan. You want to have things like the title and deed to your home, passports, other important things and passwords. And you want to have them where you can get your hands on them pretty quickly. Now, a lot of people still work with kind of the paper. I'm still kind of a paper person. I have a safe. I have a lot of this stuff in a fire. You know, like if any fire or anything happens, the safe is going to keep all this stuff protected. Some people have them in a box, so a security box. But there's a lot of people that are doing it online. And there are ways to keep it secure and private and protected, because I know sometimes we get a little nervous about our information getting out online. So two great resources for this. One is called LifeSite. And I actually know the folks over at LifeSite. They're really great. They have done added layers of protection and privacy again. So things, but it's really great because let's say you're in the emergency room and you need to pull up the document from your loved one that says do not resuscitate, and you just don't have it you know, in your hand. Or let's say you're on vacation and you lost your passport or, you know, something else, well, you can pull it up on your mobile app. So it becomes very convenient and very helpful in some of these emergencies. And the other one that is somewhat similar and does things, they're on subscription basis. You buy a subscription and then you store all these things, is called EverPlan. So we're going to have links to those resources as well. I just thought those would be helpful for you as you're kind of planning for your Get Organized Day. This might be part of that new year's, I want to get more organized in my paperwork. And you can use some of these great resources out there to help you. So with that, we're going to now go to our Me Time Monday Wellness Hack. And as I promised, it's National Stress Awareness Month. So we're going to give you some stress relief tips that are based on stories and storytelling. Here is our Me Time Monday Wellness Hack. Welcome to our Me Time Monday Wellness Hack. This episode, we focus on how stories and storytelling can help with stress relief. 60,000 years ago, the earliest humans decorated cave walls with images painted with a natural earth pigment to tell their stories about their daily lives. This was the earliest form of language using storytelling through images. It is one of the most fundamental evolutionary practices of humans to share our stories. In today's modern world of data and technology, storytelling is still one of the most powerful tools we have as a society, but it is one of the tools we can use to reduce the stress of modern day life. Following the stories of others through reading a book, whether fiction characters or real life characters found in biographies, is a favorite pastime of the estimated 5 million Americans who participate regularly in book clubs. But whether reading for social interaction or reading as a solo pursuit that lets you escape into other worlds, reading has become a great way to reduce stress levels. One study found 30 minutes of reading lowered blood pressure, heart rates, and feelings of psychological distress as effectively as yoga did. In another study, participants were followed for 12 years with regular health analysis and checkups. It was found that the group of 3,600 adults who read books during this period lived 2 years longer than those who did not read or who only read magazines. And reading is a great way to practice flow psychology, which is applying energy, effort, and enjoyment into something that makes you happier. By following storylines, characters, and immersing yourself in challenges and experiences that you feel through the page, your brain is wired to tune out other distractions and dilemmas, to increase empathy for others, to calm the stress responses of your life, and float into the world of others. Even if just a few minutes a day, it brings a type of stress relief that is meditative. So often, people are caught up in their own stories and issues, and we don't always ask the other person how they are doing or what their story is today. Social media is incredibly bad, or good, depending on how you look at it, at making us compare our lives to others in unhealthy ways. Also, for those people who treasure privacy, the TMI of social media is just too much. This is where journaling, also called bibliotherapy, is a great example of an expressive coping method or technique that helps you process negative thoughts and feelings and experiences by releasing them. By putting these things on the page, they can have less power over you. Gerontologists call this internal locus of control. By writing about your feelings, you take back control over those feelings rather than letting the external locus of control take over, which is what happens when we engage in social media. When we do social media, we allow others to dictate our happiness or self-worth, which is why people who spend 2 to 3 hours on social media every day are actually 2 to 3 times more depressed than other people. Let go of the negative feelings and balance your negative thoughts on the page by also adding expressions of gratitude. One study showed when writing in a gratitude journal for 4 weeks, you actually maintained a self of well-being and happiness for the next 12 weeks, even if you stopped writing every day. Sometimes the story of your home environment is causing your brain to feel insecure, unsafe, and unhappy. Cluttered home environments not only pose physical health risks, such as tripping over something, also emotional health risks in that your ancient brain interprets the environment as one where dangers and unknown challenges may appear because we do not have open views of everything in our environment. This is the art of decluttering, or as the new trend in downsizing is known, Swedish death cleaning, where we give away things to friends and family long before we die. Our ancient brains, which are composed of our brainstem, the amygdala, which is the housing area for emotions, and the hippocampus, which is the area of the brain that houses memories and learning, we still crave that open space of the African savanna from 2 to 3 million years ago. Clutter makes us anxious, fearful, concerned, and feeling like we do not really know the threats in our environments. If you take the time to tell the stories about things that you just cannot seem to let go of, this allows you to keep the memory and also clear your clutter. We also feel good when we can give something to someone else. By decluttering and also bringing some nature inside with plant life or unobstructed views onto plant life outside, we calm the stress response, enhance brain health, and create more happiness. As we began this Me Time Monday wellness hack, storytelling has been part of the human experience for hundreds of thousands of years. Yet many of us do not know the stories of our families. Spending time with your grandparents and learning of your ancestry and ancestors has emotional health benefits for both generations. A Boston College study found depression decreased in both grandparents and grandchildren who spent quality time together. One UK study among 1,500 teenagers found that those teenagers had more resilience and emotional strength to withstand bullying by others when they had close interactive relationships with their grandparents. Knowing who you are because of the people who came before you creates a sense of stability and strength. It also gives older adults a sense of legacy that can be passed on to future generations that is better than wealth. It is a sense of self. We hope you enjoyed this Me Time Monday wellness hack. Each episode of our Caregiving Club On Air podcast features a new Me Time Monday wellness hack. You can find these and more in my new book, Me Time Monday, the weekly wellness plan to find balance and joy for a busy life, or visit metimemonday.com or caregivingclub.com. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Caregiving Club On Air. Please hit the subscribe button to listen to us on our newest channels, Amazon Music, SiriusXM, iHeartRadio, Pandora, as well as Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, and other listening channels. Check out all the resources and article links on our episode guide page at caregivingclub.com. Just hit the podcast tab at the top, and you can email us with comments and questions at podcast@caregivingclub.com. Thank you again for listening. Take care and stay well.